It's The Broker Show. We're talking real estate, investing, local market trends, feel-good stories, mindsets, and strategies for success. Let us know what you want to talk about, and chances are we will. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
Hey, it's The Broker Show. I am The Broker Joe. Thank you for tuning in and listening, watching, whatever you're doing out there. And I am here with my good buddy Etch.
How's it going?
It's going good, man.
Yeah?
I think I'm doing better than you today, though.
I was going to say, it's probably going a lot better for you than it is me today.
As you can see, I am wearing this. I know there's a lot of people on here. You're probably going to shut this podcast off. You're going to close this video down. Screw that guy. He's wearing a Tom Brady jersey. Are you kidding me? I am sorry. I have been a lifetime Tom Brady fan and a Patriots fan. That's a Patriots fan, but we won't talk about them. We'll talk about Tom and what he did this week. Just incredible.
So, yeah. Do you follow just because Brady moved? Are you a Buccaneers fan? Are you always going to be a lifetime Patriots fan no matter what?
Yeah. So the way I see it is I'm a bigger Tom Brady fan than I am the Patriots. But if Tom Brady were to retire tomorrow, I'd be right back to the Pats.
Yeah.
Win, lose, or draw.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So you move. You know, I got to say, because I'm a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Obviously, go Chiefs.
Sure. Sure.
But I got to say, I followed when during the Trent Green era.
Okay. Yeah.
I was a big fan, and as soon as he left, because he went to St. Louis, I think it was the Rams, and he moved there.
Yeah.
But of course, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis.
Oh yeah.
Or in Kansas City, Missouri. They're both like
it's like Yankees and Red Sox, right?
Yeah. Rams moved over to where they are now.
Yep. L.A.
That so. I stayed with the Chiefs, and so I've been a Chiefs fan since the Montana days back in the early 90s.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love this. This is now the rivalry as far as I'm concerned.
Gotcha.
Big goat versus big,
gotcha.
Big goat.
It is. It's really different. I feel bad for Mahomes. He didn't, they pushed him around. His line couldn't hold up. Everyone saw it. Everyone knows.
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, for me, it was great for Tom to get number 7. Well, I've been there in person for a couple of them.
Did you?
Yeah.
I see.
And, anyway, moving on, and I might take, should I just take this jersey off? I'm going to just make it's going to annoy people.
Well, we have the graphic up right now of you standing in front
of
the
jersey. Oh, do you really? Okay. You know what?
And everything.
Soak in that graphic. I'm going to take this jersey off. Here we go.
All right. We'll say, we'll let him go to that. I kind of find it ironic that it was billed as like the fight of the century, and it was going to be like this big thing. They're sitting there like, if you watched the Super Bowl, what was interesting to me is how they likened it, and I believe it was, I don't even remember what announcer it was. It may have been Romo.
Tony.
Talking about how it was like Michael Jordan versus LeBron, and that's like, you know,
sure,
coming up, the up and comer.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, man, it broke it down like it was like not even close.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, but
for now,
again,
Mahomes' time's gonna come.
It is.
He's a young buck, just turned 25, I think. Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
If that, gosh, the guy's like,
yeah.
I don't think he was even alive when I graduated high school.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to give away my age, but watching Brady last night, I said, this guy is X amount of years older than me, and look at him.
Yeah.
Look at him out there. Yep. It's unreal. I know I got friends texting me, will this guy just die or retire? Please, please just retire. Go away. Okay.
So I feel this way about Aaron Rodgers. It's my love-hate relationship with growing up here in Michigan and having like all your friends be like, oh, no, because western side of the state, Packers all day long, you know?
Sure.
And I'm like, gosh, I hated Favre when he was there. I cannot stand Aaron Rodgers. And I will say the only time that I will root for a Tom Brady win is when he's playing Aaron Rodgers.
I see.
Either way. So moving right along, we have a great little show for you today.
Yeah, we do. And, yeah, we do. So Happy New Year to our followers.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. We took a little siesta. We went out. It was my 14-year anniversary.
Nice.
And we went out west, went to Arizona. And Etch had some time. Well, I don't know if you got time off, Etch, but we had time off from the show.
Yeah,
and
a little time with my daughter. She came up from Florida,
good.
So I was able to spend a little time with her, and that was that was good. And you know, the family, the blended family that I have with my now fiance and her daughter, and soon to be both of our daughters, and you know, so
good.
it was good. It was a good time.
Good, good.
You know,
as
relaxing.
As I turn off my phone here.
That's what happens when you're a big baller.
Up.
That's what it is.
Oh, no.
You brought in the Tom Brady jersey. He's the baller. You got the baller here on the show.
Well, you know, people calling, man. My sons want me to bring home pizza, so you know,
I'm coming over. I'm in.
So yeah, New Year 2021.
Yeah,
and I mean, everyone. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and this is. Do you know that this week, the first week or two of February, this is where 80% of the people that made New Year's resolutions, this is where they quit them.
Drops off
right now. And so just think about that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy, man. This is when people are, that quickly. We're 6 weeks in, right? Right? And I'm guilty. I'll bet you. You're guilty at some point, of doing the same thing.
Second day.
So
less sugar. Yeah. No, here I am sitting there, candy bar in hand.
I think the resolution, and again, the podcast here, we talk about investing. We talk about real estate. Mm-hmm. We talk about some of those things. I want to shift a little bit. And the name of today's episode, number 8, Path to Profit.
Flash and, it up there again.
Yeah, Path to Profit. I want to talk about mindset. And how can we make 2021 different than the years in the past? How can we break the trend? Because we've said this before on this show. We all have our goals. We all know the steps we need to take to get there. But somehow, we've got to tweak our head. We got to get our head straight because we're giving up on them when the adversity becomes too much, when the emergencies overwhelm the urgent things, right? The important things, when the urgent overcomes the important things. So we've got to pick up the pieces of a year that was pretty bad for most people, right? They lost loved ones.
Yep.
They lost jobs. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. And so overcoming adversity is something that I have been broken, humbled, gone through a lot of challenges, tragedy in my life. I've shared some of my story and the way I grew up. And I realize that so many people are feeling hopeless, feeling beaten down. They feel like everywhere they push, they keep finding a dead end.
Yep.
And, you know, there's always a problem that feels bigger than we are. Yep. It feels too big to solve. It feels too difficult to overcome. And there's days we feel like we could take on the world, right? We get energy and we make resolutions and we make decisions and we tell everyone this is what we're going to do, right? And so maybe is there a shift in our mindset, right? Is there a shift in our mindset? So I'm going to share some of my thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Let's start with who we are.
Sure.
So we've all got a title, right? I've got a title. You've got a title at your job. And that might be, maybe your title is FTM, full-time mom, or FTD, your full-time dad, right? Maybe you're a COO. Maybe you're a CDO, CMO, whatever. All the C acronyms. You have some position in your company, in your business, at the place you work.
Yep.
And You define yourself inside of those boundaries, and you set these goals to climb inside of those roles, right? Inside of those titles. I want to present a title to you. It's called a CPS, Chief Problem Solver.
Right? I like it.
Chief Problem Solver. So every business, every single business in the world is a solution to a problem. There is a problem that needs to be solved. There is a demand for a product.
Yep.
There is a repair that needs to be made. There's an improvement that needs to be made. Every business is solving a problem that we have. And so I think that when we get down, we try to go towards the path of least resistance. We're trying to get away from that thing that's causing us stress and anxiety. And we can talk about stress and anxiety another day. But talking about this role of the chief problem solver and recognizing that my value is tied to the problems that I solve and the complexity of the problem that I solve, right?
Yep.
So my first job was, I was 11 years old. It was my first job away from the house.
Yeah.
I raised chickens and all kinds of other things trying to make money, right?
No, yeah, of course.
And so I even flipped a car before I could ever drive. I bought one and had my friend drive me there and I drove it back. And anyway, but my first legit job out of the house, away from the house, was Northern Maine, potatoes are a huge industry.
Oh, yeah.
So the potato trucks, they had old equipment that were running these potato fields, and they wouldn't catch all the potatoes. They would fall out of the track as they came down. And so my job was to stand and walk behind that truck out in the potato field back and forth all day long, all week long, picking up any potatoes that fell out, right? So there was a problem. And I was solving the problem.
Right.
Right? I was solving that problem that's created by that equipment. Mm-hmm. Now, the complexity of the problem that I solved, that I was paid $6 an hour.
Yeah.
Right? So the complexity, the compensation reflected the difficulty of the problem that I solved.
Sure.
Easy enough, right? Makes sense. So the bigger the problems are, just know this. If you want to raise your value, you want to raise your income, you want to make more money, you want to find a path to more profit, you need to learn how to solve bigger problems. Problems scare people.
Oh,
challenges
yeah.
are intimidating. And it's not easy, right? Especially on the tough days. We make big knee-jerk decisions in difficult times that impact us and our families far after we've made that knee-jerk decision, right? So when it's tough, it's like when you're tired, right?
Yep.
I'm exhausted. I know that if I go get a good night's sleep, right, I'm going to feel a lot better tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to make a decision saying I can't do anything this week because I'm so exhausted. No, we know that we're going to go get recharged, right? We're going to go to sleep. We're going to wake up and we're going to get recharged. So having that that mindset, knowing that I need to find ways to keep charging my batteries, to keep growing forward and getting through the painful parts of the process if I want to find a path to more profit, to creating wealth for my family, to creating maybe it's balance in your life. You're too focused on one thing, you're working three jobs or five jobs or whatever it is, and you need to figure out where you need to invest. Where can you invest your time and resources in the best to raise your value, solve bigger problems for greater compensation, right? So,
and you know, I think one thing to mention right now, we talk openly about, you know, you have two, three different jobs. There are a lot of people out there, and this isn't just to disinclude people. There are a lot of people out there who are in between jobs right now. They may have been let go. I have personally, working in radio, I have thousands of people that I know who have lost jobs to radio.
Incredible.
Cuts. You know, people scaling back, that kind of thing. They're going to what we call voice tracking, not to, you know, basically tell you Santa's not real, but for real, it's basically, that's what it is. They're hauling in, these big companies are hauling in people that are, you know, from St. Louis that are now sitting there pretending like they're on the air in Dallas and they're getting replaced. So there's all these people who are displaced right now. And we talk about solving a problem, and the problem that you have may not be necessarily at your job or anything like that. It might be starting just with yourself of trying to find that next job, thing. What are you going to do? Okay, so like, here's one thing, and this isn't busting on, I know, especially in Michigan, restaurant industry has been hit hard, really bad.
Really feel for these guys.
And I do. But here's what I notice, and I'm probably going to get a little bit of hate for this, but the people who are the restaurant owners that are rising above, they're finding a way to make it during these times, are the ones that are doing it. The ones who are saying, you know what, here's the deal. I have a whole freezer worth of food that if it sits there, it's going to go bad. How do I still remain profitable in a time like this? Our inside seating is completely shut down.
Yeah.
But I still want to make money. I still have to overcome this, and I've still got to carry my business that has been the thing that I've really worked hard on. So what do I do? First thing that would come to mind for me, problem solving, would be, let's reach out to the factories around here. Let's say, hey, let's go in there and say every Wednesday, we're going to bring food to you guys that you can purchase. Boom, there you go. 20 guys just like that just got food by saying, hey, Tuesday, we're going to take your order. Wednesday, we'll drop it off to you. You don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
There's an answer to your problem.
Yeah.
But see, and I'm not busting on anybody. Yeah. Don't get me wrong here.
It's very tough. It's really
line.
Challenging when you're down.
It's a very fine line.
Yeah.
But that's what makes a success.
Yeah.
A success story from we had to fold story for a lot of different things.
It's hard to recalibrate, right? So we get invested in an idea and the idea doesn't work out.
Right.
That job ends up being dead end, right? That maybe I lose that job. Maybe I lose that business.
Yep.
It's hard to recalibrate. this is still America. It's a land of incredible opportunity. There is always a problem somewhere. Back to this problem thing that needs to be solved. And if you apply yourself, right, it's, you have to be, you have to refine yourself. You have to maximize efficiency. You have to scale your process. You have to go through all these steps it takes, but there's so much opportunity. I've heard so many great people that we watch. We see them on social media. We see them on television and they've gone bankrupt.
Yep.
Once, twice, three, four times. Some of these guys have gone completely bankrupt and come all the way back over and over again. And so that's the journey. We can't live out of fear that we're going to lose something if we take some risk and we push and we open our mouth or open our heart or do something, right, to go outside the lines that we made, right? Everything we work on makes us better.
It just
keeps making us better. That fear, I've seen another thing hold people back is the fear that their idea won't be used.
Oh, yeah.
Or validated,
Jeez,
right?
Isn't that the truth?
This is huge, right?
Yeah.
And so let me say this. I've seen that in my company. I know I've felt this personally so many places and so many times. Like, I have this idea. I have this concept. It feels like everyone needs to do this right now, right? It's going to make us all better. Because I find those moments and those days of passion for the position, for the job, for my title, right? And then the boss says what? I'll think about it, right?
Yeah.
Which means no. It's a nice way of saying no. Or maybe he just says no. Right? And so that's really discouraging, but that anticipation keeps people from bringing those ideas to fruition in the first place. When what they should see is value number one, self-improvement. Value number one is growth, right? Just because it isn't used, all right? So say this. If it doesn't work here, it makes me better for there.
Right.
Right. So if this idea, if this concept doesn't work here, it'll make me better for there.
Right.
And so you're keeping an open mind. You're keeping your eyes open for greater opportunity, other places. But you're also investing and applying yourself here.
Right.
As an employer, I would say that if when my employees do the job before I ever pay them to do the job, that is the greatest thing, the greatest light that an employee could ever shed on their mindset to an employer, right? Not, well, pay me and then I'll do it, right?
Right.
And so now I understand there's people out there not getting rewarded for years and years of hard work and intuition and all the values they bring. But hopefully you're aligning yourself and you know, reward yourself too.
Yep.
If you're aligned with a company or a boss or an owner that's going to look at you and say, look, you've stepped into a role that you're not getting paid for necessarily. You've increased your value. You've brought additional value to the table. Yep. Now, once you've done that, maybe it's time to ask for a raise, or maybe it's time to do your own thing or move on up the ladder. But so many people are being held back by, well, I'm not going to get paid for that. I'm not paid to do that.
Yep.
That's his job.
Can I give you a little example?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when I got my start in doing what I this what I do now, radio, is completely opposite of what I I shouldn't say opposite. I got my start doing what I do in television and concerts and stuff. So when I was still in school, I had the opportunity to go and be a what we call PA or production assistant on the set of the season grand finale of America's Funniest Videos. And I went and did this.
Big deal.
And yeah, it was great.
Big deal.
But it was unpaid. We were paid in Disney tickets. So that's
how
what they
about
gave us.
That?
They were like, here, for every show, because it was on Disney property.
Yeah.
It was put on by ABC.
Yeah.
So they were like, we'll give you Disney tickets as your pay. Well, we have 13 of us guys who were in college, all vying for that one callback, basically. It was basically your tryout to get called back for the next production that Disney was going to do on property.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. How do you stand out? And this is exactly in line with what you were talking about.
Yeah.
I remember one guy while I was in school, he said, I want you to take this to heart and I want you to use this because this is what got me on the next show. He said, it was hot out. It's Florida. I said, yeah. He goes, I was watching the director, and the director in the heat of Florida was sweating like crazy. And you could see every now and then he'd be looking around to see, you know, is there anything to drink anywhere? Nothing. They're out in the middle of nowhere. So he goes, after a little while, he goes, I just started making sure that I always had a cold water bottle sitting on me. And as soon as I'd see him look around, I was right there handing him a water bottle.
Yeah.
He goes, I did that for probably 2 weeks straight. Nothing. The guy didn't even say thank you to me, because that's, you're just the lowest of the low. Mm-hmm. He goes, about a month later, he goes, I got a call from the production company that was the hiring crewing company. He says, I got asked to come on the next shoot because that director said, hey, what was that one guy's name? Did you see him? He was the one that kept bringing me water.
Yeah.
And the assistant director knew him. And he's like, yeah, it was Miles. And Miles was the guy. So they pulled him on. Miles went on to be Adam Sandler's personal assistant out in L.A. I don't know what he's doing now. But was
I'm sure
huge.
He's very successful.
So on that on that America's Funniest Video shoot, I did that exact same thing.
Yeah.
I watched the director who was out doing that, and I watched my audio director doing it. So I was at him water, ready to go. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
2 months later, I didn't think anything of it. Of course, they were like, hey, man, that was really great. Thanks for doing that. They gave me a little bit of attaboy.
Sure.
But the bottom line is like 2-3 months later, they called me back and I got to work with Michael Bolton, Wayne Brady, Jim Brickman, Linda Etter on a PBS shoot called The Disney Songbook, which was incredible. Yeah. But it all, like you were saying, you do it without the reward.
You
I was
do.
Getting Disney tickets.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
We were just basically giving those to friends. We weren't getting anything. It was all in the hopes of that one up.
Yeah.
But it's that hard work. It's that continually trying to go around and come up with a new idea of how you can impress that guy or say, hey, you know what? That idea didn't work. I can tell you how many different ideas that I had that didn't work.
I think people are so focused on the people up above them, right? And, you know, how this guy get this, how this gal get there.
Yep.
And it's stealing from you.
Yeah.
It's robbing you.
Yep.
It's robbing you of opportunity. And that's what every boss, every COO is looking for. They're looking for initiative. They're looking at someone that's half as invested in their company or their product or they're moving forward their progress as they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Someone to take ownership and care. It's a huge, huge deal. And it really, I see it and it concerns me. It concerns me, people's mindset.
Yep.
They're very defensive. They feel hopeless. They feel, and I understand. Mm-hmm. I really do understand how people do that. Hopelessness kind of sinks in and they feel defensive and they feel like, well, I'm not doing that. It's extra. And you know what? We're also tired, man. We're tired. We're living a life of social media, you know, addictions to all these sort of things, which are great and fine and everything else are filling us in. But you know what? Maybe some of you listening, maybe you've got an itch and you have been trying to scratch it for a long time.
Yep.
And maybe this is something that you need to hear. You need to hear, you know what? I am remembering, I'm thinking right now of that time at work where I saw an opportunity where I could have made a difference and I didn't because it was outside of my job description.
Yep.
It was something that someone else, that girl or that guy should be doing.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of stepping in and doing that, right? And sometimes it's the things that no one sees.
Yeah.
Right? It's behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is twofold. You're improving your value.
Yep.
Right? Greater value equals greater compensation. So it's going to come your way. It's going to come your way eventually because someone is going to see it and go, ah, I want that. I need that in my company. I need that so much. And that value, it gets rewarded. Mm-hmm. It not just the reward that we feel from in improving who we are in our roles and whatever we are growing in, but in recognition, ultimately in compensation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's a couple things. I think fear is a big thing too that holds people back.
Well, I mean, fear for also, like, if you bring an idea to the table and if you're listening right now and saying, well, I bring ideas to the table and then my boss takes them and makes them his own.
Yeah.
This happens all the time.
Right.
All the time. But you know what? That boss knows.
He knows
your idea.
Yes.
They may be kicking you. They may be doing all those things. But you know what? What you can then do in turn, because you don't have to have that recommendation of that boss.
Yeah.
You don't have to say, call them. That guy's going to recommend me or anything like that. But when you get that interview, when you get that come up, when it's like, hey, now's my time. You can say, I helped because my idea, I presented it and I gave it to that boss.
Yeah.
And he took that and then he, with my team,
yes.
As soon as this happens, you use the word with my team. Mm-hmm. It's no longer you. All of a sudden, your stock with that interview goes sky high because they're saying
it does.
Well, now he's a team player.
Yes.
So I presented the idea that I came up with, but then as the team, we all embodied that idea and we came up with something better. Boom. Just like that.
You know,
it's great.
Oftentimes, there is wisdom, experience that we can't see.
Yep.
The boss sees it, mm-hmm. right? Because they've been there before.
So they're the boss.
And so, yeah, we have the idea. We have the concept. We have the design. But if it's not time, or if it's there's a better time, there's something we can do, you know, we have our field of vision, mm-hmm. right? And so my goal in life is to always have input from people that have a greater field of vision than I do. Mm-hmm. Always. If you're living life without someone that is aligned with your goals, right? So Denzel Washington said something a couple years ago, and it really stuck with me. And he said that he imagines his hero is himself in 5 years, right? So what he does is he makes a picture of himself in his mind and says, that's me in 5 years. That's my hero. Yeah. That's who I want to be, is that person right there. So when you have that image in your head, then you say, oh gosh, there's steps I have to take to become that person,
yep.
right? I've got to grow towards being that individual. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really powerful thought to say. And ultimately, without people that are your heroes mm-hmm. and yourself, your future self leaning over your shoulder saying, hey, I've been down this path, I've been down this road, here's what I've learned, here's what I can show you. If you don't have that friend, if you don't have that mentor, go find him.
Yeah.
Go find him. And you know what? Take care of them. Look after them. You know, they're going to give you things, words, wisdom, advice that are way more valuable than anything, any experience you could ever have, because yep. it'll save you all that experience. One more quick thought before we go. I saw a video. There was two gentlemen around a corner of a brick building on a busy sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And these two guys, one would start yelling, don't shoot. And the other guy would pop a balloon. And the people around the corner thought that someone was getting shot.
Oh no.
Right? They would hear it.
Right.
And they would think that someone is getting shot. So they'd all scream and run and call the cops. Well, they shut down this guy doing these videos pretty quick because the police got sick of coming to the scene. Someone's getting killed, thinking that balloon popping. Mm-hmm. But there are so many instances of these type. I hope you see it as a good example. I think it's perfect because we panic about things and we make these quick decisions. Mm-hmm. And we say no to ourselves, and we get in these ruts where we just don't move forward because we're afraid, and we begin to make things sound and look like our fears tell us they are, mm-hmm. right? And so let go of fear, pull yourself up, go to work with some some big energy, some renewed energy. Look at your boss in the eye and just say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Let's get to work. Let's make this product mm-hmm. better. I want to be a better employee than I ever have been before. You're creating a path to profit and opportunity, greater value, greater compensation. It's exciting. It's fun and very rewarding.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good next stuff. Week.
Yeah.
Next week. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, we'll see.
A little mystery.
Absolutely.
A little mystery. That usually means we don't know yet.
I'm pretty sure we love talking at you. I'm pretty sure we ran over and we run over every
That's
time.
Okay. That's okay. Right. If you're listening, we apologize for mm-hmm. our bumbling and stumbling. But at the same time, I think that's some great stuff that you touched on. I hope that my stories weren't too long or anything.
Oh, but, no. No, it was all good.
You know, I feel like sometimes when you bring up something, there's something that hits my mind. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
It's good. I love that story about the...
I hope that it helps, and I hope that it gives people, because it's really easy to feel like you're not being appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've had so many jobs in the production world and doing television, and I mean, I've had shoes thrown at me by some of the biggest names in music. It's ridiculous. I remember there was one, I can't say her name, but there was one huge 90s star who was so mad because her engineer, who was the front of house guy, I was working monitors, her in-ear monitors weren't working properly.
Yeah.
And he told me I couldn't
Ellen,
touch
was it?
No.
Okay.
No, this is a pop star from the 90s. It was huge success. She had a big chip on her shoulder that she was still a great thing, which is great. She was an amazing musician. She got so mad at me. She called me out on the stage and was just like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, blah, blah, blah.
Are you okay, Etch? Can I give you a hug after this?
Oh, jeez, man. To this day, I still held a grudge.
Okay. So when she comes on the radio, you're like.
Right. I'm like, next song. But I mean, there's things that, and you tried, and I did everything in my power to try to, I don't want to say impress her.
Yeah.
but at the same time to make her appreciative of how hard I was working to try to make it. And she publicly humiliated me. And it really
hurts.
It really
hurts.
My ego was slammed.
It'll shut you down. It'll make you never want to do it again. Yep. Never put yourself out there again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Another one. I mean, there was another 90s huge band. Huge band that he's in. The guy's in country music now, too. He was a pop star, or not pop, but like a rock star in the 90s with his band. He treated me like garbage on one set.
Water off a duck's back,
dude.
Man. Let it go.
Yep. Because I did. I worked with him again. And he was the nicest guy in the world to me, appreciative to everything that I was doing. And I was like, that's the answer.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, you're going to feel like you're getting kicked. And they kick you when you're down, too.
Yep.
But hang in there.
Hang in there. Keep bringing value to the table.
Until next time.
I think we're done for today.
I think we are. All right. I'm good at that.
All right.
So from
the Broker Joe
and Etch, have a great day.
Have a great day.